celebrating Lord Balaam's appearance.
Say thank you.
And we're going to have this nice Vaishnava Diksha, which is Brahman initiation for these devotees you see sitting here. Oh, someone doesn't want to take Brahman. They're not advanced enough, or more advanced. So we're going to describe what Brahman initiation means, because not traditionally thousands of years ago, but traditionally within the last few hundred years, Brahman meant someone who was born in a Brahman family. And Kshatriya meant someone who was born in a Kshatriya family, and Vaishya, etc., Shudra, etc. So this is called the caste system. But we are not interested in the caste system. The caste system means by birth, one is ascertained to be of a certain nature or a certain occupation. And Krishna himself doesn't mention this in the Gita. He says, Chatur Varnam, Mayashrishta, Guna Karma Vibhagasha. That someone is known to be of a specific quality or caste according to his nature and his work, guna and karma, not according to his janma. You know, janma means birth. So we find many incidents, but one that comes to mind from the Mahabharata, where there was a lot of problems caused by people who had caste consciousness. And that problem was caused when Karna was denied his rightful position. Karna, of course, was the son of Kunti, with the sun god. And Karna was misunderstood throughout his life, because it was thought that he was actually the son of a charioteer. And because he was considered the son of a charioteer, he was rejected from being a kshatriya in spite of having all the qualities of a kshatriya. In fact, Arjuna considered him to be his enemy, and Duryodhana, he was a little more intelligent. He actually appointed Karna as a king in order to gain his allegiance so he could fight with the Pandavas. Actually, it's not that Duryodhana was free from this caste distinction consciousness, but he did it as a political move to try to defeat Arjuna, because he knew Arjuna was the best bowman. So that's one incident, and you find many others in the Vedic literature. We're not going to talk about them. But we're not interested in a Brahman by birth. In fact, even someone may be a Brahman by birth, and they may not be qualified, and they are called a Brahma Bandhu, which means be relative or a friend of a Brahman. And you have Ashwatthama is a typical example of that. Ashwatthama was born in a Brahmin family. Dronacharya was his father. And he acted like a complete Shudra. Unfortunately, he was given many of the powers of a Brahmin, such as the ability to launch the Brahmastra weapon. I think you all know what a Brahmastra weapon is. In ISKCON, Brahmastra is a drink that you take when you get sick with hot peppers and ginger and everything like that. But the Brahmastra weapon is more powerful than the nuclear weapon, and it can be focused just on one little point. It doesn't have to destroy the whole world. But he was able to launch that Brahmastra weapon, but he didn't have the consciousness or the knowledge how to retrieve that Brahmastra weapon. So he was called a Brahma Bandhu. So we are not interested in defining people according to their birth, but according to their qualities. Just like recently I just read a news article in India. There was a whole riot by one group of people in Gujarat who were complaining about this definition of people according to their birth, because there was preferential hiring of a certain caste. I'm not going to get into the details. So we want to see what a person's qualities are. So what the qualities of a Brahman are mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Samogama Tapaksharcha, Shantir Arjunavacha, Janavijanamastita, Brahma Kama Svabhavajan. He says, we can understand who is a Brahman if he exhibits these qualities. What are the qualities? Being equal poise. Sama. Sama means not only equal poise, but equal vision. It's also described by Krishna in the Gita. Sama darshi. Vidya vanya sampani. Brahmani, Gavibhashani, Suni, Chaiva, Sapapecha, Pandita, Samadarshana. That a Brahman has equal vision. He sees a dog eater, a cow, an outcast, all the same. Why does he see them all as the same? Because he sees that they're all living entities. They all have the same type of soul in their hearts. And they all have super soul in their hearts. So in this way, he treats all living entities equally. That doesn't mean that he'll do exactly the same thing with each and every living entity. In other words, he's not going to let a dog into his bedroom, unless he happens to be in America. That may happen. But generally, he won't let a dog into his bedroom, and he'll let a human being into his bedroom. But still, he sees them, Samadarshi sees them the same, and he gives all them spiritual energy, which means for a dog, he may chant Hare Krishna into the dog's ear. And for a human being, he may chant the Bhagavad Gita into the human being's ear. So, in other words, samadarshi. So, samadhamma. And dhamma is even, in one sense, more important because you can't be sama without dhamma. You can't be equal poised unless you are self-controlled. Self-controlled means that if a brahmana is insulted, what does he do? Does he insult back? Does anyone know? No. He takes it as coming from Krishna. He says, I, dear Krishna, you're teaching me a lesson to be humble. He doesn't say, you are a rascal too. And so that means he controls vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pasha vegam. He controls his tongue, his belly, his genitals, his mind, anger, and words 24 hours a day, not just during the work day. Just like many of you have jobs, you go to work, and certainly you control yourself in front of your boss because you're afraid of getting fired. But then when you go home, you don't control yourself. You lose control of your senses. So a Brahman is 24-7. That's a real Brahman. That's Shochan. A Brahman is austere because a Brahman accepts everything favorable for spiritual life. And rejects everything unfavorable. That's austerity. Brahman doesn't necessarily have to sleep on a bed of nails or immerse himself into ice cubes in the winter or put himself in a fire in the summer and execute austerities like that. But a Brahman accepts everything favorable for devotional service and rejects everything unfavorable. And then Shocham, actually our spiritual master Srila Prabhupada stated that a Brahman is known as Suchi, which means he was always clean. Clean internally and externally. Internally by always yaksmarat pundarikatsam, as you just chanted, always remembering Krishna. Because if you don't remember Krishna, if you don't chant Krishna's names, Kali Yuga, or this particular age, is so contaminated it will seep its way into your consciousness. Kaler dosha vidhe rajan. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, Kalaya Dakshinare Rajan Ashego Mahaduna Kirtanareva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambaje. This Kali Yuga is an ocean of difficulty, but there is one good quality, and that good quality is Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya. If one chants Krishna's name, or Krishna Kata, Bhagavat Kata, then Mukta Sangha Parambaje, he becomes free from the contamination of Kali. So that's internal cleanliness. External cleanliness, that's very easy to understand. That means bathing regularly, cleaning your hands before eating, cleaning your hands after eating. Originally in our Krishna conscious movement, we were taught to clean our feet before eating and after eating. And we even had a sink in the prasadam room where we would put our feet in the sink. But that got a little bit too much. So at least clean the place where you eat, clean your hands, bathe regularly. Prabhupada said, our movement should be revolutionary clean. In other words, when you come into the temple, you come into a devotee's house, it should be so clean, as they say in the Navy, you can eat off of the decks. Anyone's heard that expression before? That's a native expression. So, then tolerance is another quality of a Brahmin. Tatikshava, Karunika, Surada, Sarvadayina. One should tolerate what? Heat and cold, pleasure and pain, matra sparsha, sukantiya, sitosha, sukhapitipata, agama, parina, nidash, kamshitiksha, parata. So that's another quality of Brahmin. And honesty, religious, studying regularly the Vedic literatures, and practicing what you study. Brahma, karma, svabhavaja. So these are the qualities that those who are taking initiation, in fact, everyone should aspire for. So the question is, how do you develop these qualities? And of course, the sadhana process of bhakti yoga is the process for developing those qualities. Of course, ultimately, the goal of the process of bhakti yoga is to enter into the spiritual realm, go back to home, back to Godhead. But in the process of doing so, one develops brahminical qualities. This is very, very important. So today is a very important day. It's Lord Balaram's appearance day. So I thought I would mention something in regard to Brahmin initiation and connected to Lord Balaram. Now, Lord Balaram is famous for killing some demons. And the two most famous demons that Lord Balaram killed were Palambasura and Dainakasura. So these were very unique demons. In fact, in the case of Dainakasura, we see that Dainakasura didn't properly respect his spiritual master. Because here we're talking about initiation today. But Dainakasura did not properly respect his spiritual master. It happened to be Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa Muni is a spiritual master who has a temper. So hopefully you don't pick a spiritual master who has a bad temper. You pick someone who's a little bit more even-tempered. So Dainakasura demon, who is known as an ass demon or a donkey demon, appeared before his spiritual master with a bunch of girls and engaged in romantic affairs, and he got cursed to be an ass. And of course, later on he was killed by Balaram. And Palambasura, he also was engaged in unfortunate affairs, and he got cursed to be a demon. So both of these personalities got cursed because they had offended some sage. So this is very important insofar as initiation, Brahmin initiation is concerned, because initiation means to connect one with the disciplic succession. And to connect one with the disciplic succession means that one is accepting instruction in the disciplic succession. As we mentioned before, one doesn't become a Brahmin simply by birth. Also, one doesn't become a Brahmin simply by initiation. I wish it were so easy. One becomes a Brahmin by working hard at acquiring the brahminical principles. And this is mentioned by a great personality, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in regard to these two demons, which I just mentioned, Palambasura and Dainakasura, that Lord Balaram killed these two demons. So each one of the demons represents particular anarthas. Anarthas are unwanted things that interfere with us being brahminical. Anarthas are things like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. Things that are not only interfering with our brahminical status, but also interfering with our happiness. Because if one is lusty, one is fearful, one is envious, one is disturbed in mind. And when you're disturbed in mind, how can you be happy? If any of you think about it in the past, certain times when your mind is very disturbed, you're very angry, you certainly weren't happy. It's like if you see an angry person, you say to them, smile. No. Or you see a lusty person, they may have a stupid smile on their face, but they're not really happy. They're just like controlled like a robot under the influence of some drug. So a fearful person, smile. you know, you can't. So these are called anarthas, interfering with our happiness and interfering with our brahminical status. So these anarthas are very difficult to overcome. Because of our identification with this body, and the identification with our subtle body too, gross body and subtle body. So one may think that one can overcome these anarthas simply by taking initiation, or simply by getting some blessing. Oh, please bless me to overcome my anarthas. Just like I gave an example this morning, when I was a young devotee, I would walk behind His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, and take the sand from His footprints in the beach. And that's the dust from His feet. That's a very powerful substance, right? It's described. Very powerful substances are substances like the foot dust of a pure devotee, the prasadam remnants of the pure devotee, or the foot bathing water of the pure devotee. And I did all those. And I took them on a regular basis whenever I saw Prabhupada. I even stole them. If I found a plate of Srila Prabhupada's remnants, I would steal it and not share with any of the devotees, eating even the grape stems, the orange rinds, and I would have eaten the plate had it not been metal. One time I ate a paper plate. So, but still, it didn't cure all these anarthas. Now, what's happening? I thought these substances are supposed to be very powerful. Well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the Chaitanya Shishamrita mentions that these anarthas, such as represented by Palambasura, of course, Palambasura represents the anartha of lust and desire for profit, adoration, distinction. You know, one wants to be famous, a great, renowned personality. And Vedapasura represents the anarthas of laziness or anger, like that. He was certainly an angry donkey. He kicked Balaram in the chest. Can you imagine that? I mean, if Balaram were, you're not supposed to touch your feet to anything sacred. The only thing you're supposed to touch your feet to is the ground. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, said you should not even move furniture with your feet. That's interesting, because the feet are not considered clean. So, of course, this Dainakasura, he touched Balaram, he kicked Balaram, and then what did Balaram do? He picked him up, whirled him, threw him in the tree, and killed him in such a nice fashion. So Dainakasura represents this laziness, inertia. So between them, they represent these anarthas. Kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, bhavya, vaya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. All these different anarthas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these anarthas can be overcome by one's hard work. Because we all want to get things easy. A blessing. I remember in the 1960s, people thought they could become God conscious by taking a pill. I don't know if anyone remembers that. You know, of course, I'm older than the rest of you put together. So, you know, and even there was people who said, God is not, there was one person who published a book, God has now appeared in a pill in Kali Yuga. You know, Kalera Doshana Devajan Ashe Go Mahadunat, Pill Ashe Mukasanga Parambaja. So, people wanted spiritual realization very easily. And so even when people joined a spiritual movement, they wanted spiritual realization very easily. You know, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to... Still, you find so many yoga groups who said, you don't really have to change anything, just come and do some exercises once a week. You know, touch your nose with your toe, and you've got it made. Or, you know, breathe in one nostril, breathe out another nostril. Turn up the heat to about 150 degrees. Anyway, I'm not going to mention different names. And then you become God conscious. But spiritual life, you have to work at it. I mean, any of you who work in the real world, I think everybody works in the real world. Does anyone work in an artificial world? Only people in a mental institution? So anybody who works in the real world knows you go to the university, you study, you work hard, you're competing against other people. Of course, in Christian consciousness, you don't compete against other people. Everybody works together. But you work hard, and your grades come out, and your mother tortures you because you got low grades. They happen to me. So, and then you graduate, and then you go to work, and you have to work like 8 hours, 10 hours a day. Some people are working two jobs, paying off your mortgage. Does anyone here have a mortgage? No, no one here has a mortgage. Pretty good. 30 years paying off a mortgage, unless you happen to inherit money, and then you don't have to pay it off. So you're working really hard, and then you come to spiritual life, and you think, it's easy. Well, in the beginning, it is easy. But it takes work. And that's what Balaram killing these two demons represents, the hard work. So where does the guru come in? Does he just sit back and watch you do the hard work? He says, okay, get to work, buddy. I mean, that may be interesting. But the guru's position is to give you instructions how to work. As we chanted every morning, Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitake Kariyakya. Srila Prabhupada, of course, is the guru, Shiksha guru, and Diksha guru of many people, but Shiksha guru of everybody in the Krishna conscious movement, the preeminent Shiksha guru. And Prabhupada has told us how to work. And that work is called sadhana. That means chanting a certain number of rounds every day. Every day, whether you feel like it or not. Just like you go to ordinary work, let's say if you're working habitual, I know what there you are. She's white, so I don't know. She's definitely not habitual. So you're working, and you know what happens if you tell your boss, he says, why aren't you working yet? I just don't feel like this. I don't have a taste. I mean, it's one thing if you're sick. Yeah, you get an excuse. Well, I have 110 fever. Okay, I'm dead. But if you just tell your boss, I don't feel like it, you know, just like, I want to go to the beach today, you know, I want to go to the bar, you know, you lose your job, right? So spiritual life really means steadiness. That's called nishcha. Steadiness, you have to work at it day by day, controlling the impulses, and actually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, our grand spiritual master, said that you really have to beat your mind with shoes or a stick something like 100 times. Can you imagine that? Not literally. You have to be careful about taking this literally. You take your stick and go, whack, then you'll have concussion. But you have to really control your mind. It's like a wild horse. Has anyone ridden a horse here before? Yeah. So, most of you have ridden trained horses. One time I got up on a wild horse. I just thought I was going to have a good time. I thought, you know, bareback, wild horse, I'm a horse whisperer. You know what that is. So, you know, I'm a devotee, I'll just turn Hare Krishna to the horse. So, you know, this is in Florida. I got up on the horse and I said, help! You know, because he was taking me to the next county. And I was just, oh my God. And I had to finally jump off the horse. I didn't get hurt. Anyway, I figured he didn't throw me off, fortunately. So also Krishna uses this example as far as the body. You know, the body is a chariot, and you have the horses, which are the five senses, and you have the reins, which is the mind, and you have the driver, which is the intelligence, and the passenger, which is the soul. So that's what it means. You have to really train up the mind. Krishna says in the Gita, for one whose mind is controlled, self-realization is easy work. And for one whose mind is not controlled, the mind is the greatest enemy. So it can be the greatest friend or the greatest enemy. So this is really the meaning of second initiation. We have Palambasura and Dendrikasura in our hearts. That's interesting. In other words, we have all these tendencies. Laziness, procrastination. Procrastination means not doing today what you do today, putting it off for tomorrow. And laziness wanting to sleep too much, all these things, and, you know, lust, after, not only the gross lust, wanting to be famous, or especially when you get to be a position of guru, you think, I want to be the best guru. So this is very dangerous. Even with the advancement in devotional service, you are offered all these allurements, and you have to be very careful not to succumb to them. So, therefore, those of you who are taking second initiation, today kind of initiation, should work very hard on these things. And working very hard doesn't mean simply a negation. Oh, I'm feeling angry. Oh, I'm bad. No, it means thinking of Krishna, chanting the holy names, praying to Krishna when these anarthas arise, and trying your best to focus your mind. Savaimana Krishna Padaravinde. Focus your mind on Krishna. And then you become a real Brahmin. Then, when you're a Brahmin, you're qualified to touch Brahman. Touching Brahman means doing deity worship. So one of the reasons these devotees are taking second initiation is so they can do deity worship on the altar and deal with and dress and do arti for Radha Gurukananda. And of course, Mother Krishna Priya will train them up in Krishna consciousness. She's the guru of the deity worship, right? She's very helpful. So, anyway, so that's what Brahman means. Not simply a thread, not simply a mantra. Of course, the Brahmins do get a mantra. And that mantra, the Gayatri mantra, which comes from the flute song of Krishna. But if they cultivate these qualities and try to get rid of the anarthas, they will be able to hear the flute song of Krishna while they chant the Gayatri mantra. Try to remember that. If you're in the mode of goodness, while you chant the Gayatri mantra, you will be able to understand the non-difference between the Gayatri mantra and the flute song of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So, that's the short lecture of Balaram's appearance day, talking about the demons that Balaram killed. There's two of them. And Balaram, of course, is the original guru. Nayamatva balahirana labwa. No one can take or have a spiritual advancement without the mercy of Balaram. Balaram, you can offer the deity. You can offer the deities. Without the mercy of Balaram, who has also appeared as Lord Nityananda, and Balaram's representative, no one can advance his spiritual life. So we approach Balaram. He is the best servant. All service to Krishna comes under the energy or through the mercy of Lord Balaram. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll proceed out with the fire sacrifice, but first, those men who are taking second initiation will get their Brahmin threads. And the ladies don't get Brahmin threads, I'm sorry. You're more renounced. The men need Brahmin threads because they want to show that they're Brahmins and be proud. But the ladies are actual Brahmins because they're renounced. Just like sometimes people ask me, why don't ladies become sannyasis? Or have little dandinis? That's dandis. And the reason is the ladies can be more renounced than the men. The men have to carry around dandis so everyone will offer respects to them. You understand? And the ladies, they can be just as renounced, just as much real sannyasis by taking shelter of Krishna. Real sannyasis is not someone who does no work, performs no sacrifice, but this is Krishna's version of the Bhagavad Gita, but someone who always acts for Krishna. The word sannyas means basically to accept everything favorable from Krishna, jaya shishi radha lokananda, and reject everything unfavorable for Krishna. So there Krishna has appeared. So now we'll proceed with the giving of the sacred threads. So one by one the devotees can come up and offer obeisances to the deities. I don't know if there's a lot of room. To Srila Prabhupada, and you'll get the sacred thread. So, Krishnanam, you can come first. You're the elder. You're like, Balaram is actually the older brother of Krishna, so you're the eldest here. Of course, fortunately with ladies, I don't have to discern who is the oldest. Because that would be an insult. Okay. Okay. So you get the thread. Okay. Who's next oldest? I guess Dhoti Gopinath, who's wearing a dhoti for the first time. Be careful, don't trip on it. I had one disciple, where was he? In Europe, he was carrying my bag for me. As I was going to the airport, he was wearing the dhoti for the first time, he tripped, and he broke my bag. The handle on the bag, it just snapped in half. And I said, don't ever wear a dhoti again. Fortunately, I had a warranty on the bag, and I got it replaced. I didn't tell him it was due to the disciple. So,
hey, Krishna, 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 Krishna,
I've never seen her smile so widely like that.
It's just the power of
Shakti. The power of Shakti. All right, finally, Dhira Krishna. There you go. Dhira Krishna's come from Boston to join us. Now we'll see her from And his wife is also taking a second, and Krishnanda's wife is also. Dear Krishna means peaceful Krishna. Krishna has many qualities, some which are peaceful, some is not. He's Dhira Gata, Dhira Prashanta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Gata, Dhira Gata. So there's four basic qualities that Krishna has.
Jai Krishna, 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 Krishna.
Jai for the ladies too. You know, even though they're not many, it's not the men are the only ones who get jai in the heart.
Prema Mataji ki. Priya Mataji ki.
See, we are equal. No one should accuse us of being sexist. Okay, so you can. And then they'll get their Gayatri mantras later after the program in my house. So you can proceed. Brahman, Hanuman and Nanda.
Next is Sankalpa. Wow. Om Tat Sat Sri Om Tat 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 Om